I knew there was something I liked about Jerome. He reads from the American Standard Version. I knew there was something. I just couldn't put my finger on it. Thank you, Jerome. And thank you for being with us this morning. Appreciate Kyle, your song leading, and all of the activities that we can do together to come worship God. And I appreciate your presence. And if you're visiting, we're glad that you're here. And we hope that you will come back as you have an opportunity. From time to time, a Christian will come up to me and they will ask, Brother Reeves, what can I do to be more active in my faith? What can I do to show my faith to others? Sometimes that comes from a new convert. They've just been recently baptized and they don't know all of the ins and outs of what Christians do in a local church or on a daily basis. Sometimes that will come from a Christian who realizes that they just need to grow more. They need to be more active in their service to God. But every once in a while, sometimes somebody will mention that. Sometimes it's a young Christian. They wonder, or maybe like a young girl or a woman who is not taking a public role in the service. We always see the men getting up, you know, leading singing and preaching and waiting on the Lord's table. And somebody might say, well, what can I do? How can I be more active in my faith, or how can I show my faith more? So I want to talk about that this morning. I want to talk about putting our faith into practice. And when I think of that thought, I think of one New Testament book more than any other that speaks to that particular matter. What book in the New Testament speaks of putting our faith into practice? I'll give you a hint. It was written by one of the Lord's brothers. We would say half-brother. There are two books in the New Testament written by the Lord's brothers. Jude is one, and what's the other one? Well, the hint is our scripture reading. If you'll turn with me to James, the book of James, chapter 1, we want to look this morning at the importance of putting my faith into practice, and I'm going to, from the book of James, I'm going to share with us 7 do-it-yourself steps, just simple steps. Just simple things that we can do to show our faith more. You may be wanting this in your life. It could be when I'm at school. It could be when I'm at work. What are some simple things that I can do when I'm at the grocery store, when I'm in the local church, when I'm with my neighbors next door? What are some simple things that I can do to put my faith into practice? And Lord willing, as we go through this message this morning, I'm actually going to just survey and overview every part of the book of James. Maybe that'll give you a taste to go home and just read through this little short book. It's not long, but it's a great book. I sometimes describe James as faith in action. Faith in action, or putting my faith into practice. So let's look at that this morning. And they're not difficult things. You don't have to buy anything. There's nothing you're going to have to do later where you go out and buy something. It's simple steps. Have you ever watched any DIY videos? Those are very important today. Do-it-yourself DIY videos. They're very helpful, actually. I have seen some of those. Maybe you've seen some of those. Help you in your cooking. Help you to fix something. You can fix your door is not working right on its hinges, and here's a DIY video where you can fix your door at home, or whatever the case might be. That's very helpful, isn't it? Somebody who's already gone through this, they've already gone through the steps, and they're going to take you in a simple way. And I've watched those kinds of things. They're quite helpful. Our daughter does those kinds of things from time to time. I'm told she's an influencer. So those of you who are up on social media, you know what that word means. She's an influencer. But she does DIY videos from time to time. And those are quite helpful. So let's turn to the book of James and let's see what James says. Here are some do-it-yourself things where you can go out and put your faith into practice. And it could be from us this morning. We come and we get so much out of the service, but we don't just simply want to be a bench warmer or a pew warmer. We want outside the building to put our faith into practice. What are some simple things that we can do? Well, before we look at those simple steps, I just wanted to remind us from the book of James, that the whole book is really about this matter of putting our faith into practice. And I just wanted to survey a few examples. Actually, in every chapter, you'll see this 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 up there. Every chapter mentions this idea. For example, in our scripture reading in chapter 1 in verse 22, be doers of the word. Turn to chapter 2 and verse 17. Faith, if it has not works, is dead. The same in verse 26. So clearly, an active faith. You can turn to chapter 3 and verse 13. Let him show, look at that, let him show by his good life his works in meekness. So even in chapter 3, you'll see that. Turn to chapter 4 and verse 17. To him therefore that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So doing is emphasized there. And then you turn to chapter 5, verses 13 and 14. You don't have the word doing, or you don't have the word works, but you have actions that are taking place here. If you're suffering, pray, that's an action. If you're cheerful, sing, that's an action. If you're sick, call for the elders, that's an action. And so in every chapter, you have faith in action. You have not just this mental Christianity. It starts in the mind. It starts with our faith. It starts with our belief. But it has to move out from there and show itself. So what are some simple things that I can do, that you can do, to put our faith into practice more? For the one who's wanting to grow more, for the one who's wanting to do things outside the building, for the person at school and at work that are looking for some simple things that we can do to be more active in our faith. What are some things? Well, let's consider what James has to say about that. Turn back with me to James chapter 1 in our scripture reading in verses 22 through 25. Let's begin with the first one. The first one is, when you hear God's word, pick one thing to do and do it. When you hear God's word, pick one thing to do and do it. Where do you go out and hear God's word? When do you hear God's word? Well, it might be in a sermon. This sermon right now, you might hear something and you could just jot down, I heard something in a verse. I want to go out and do that this week. It might be in your daily Bible reading. Could be that. It could be in a Bible class, and this includes our young people in the high school class and on down. Maybe you heard something that was read in the Word of God. And so James says, be doers of the Word and not hearers only, deluding yourselves. We need to be hearers of the Word and doers of the Word. So just when you hear something, just write it down and say, I'm going to go do that this week, or maybe even today. Just pick one thing. Just pick one thing. And that's why our daily Bible reading is so good. We will be reading through the Word of God, and there's bound to be something there that we can go practice. Just go do it. It's very simple. And a lot of times we're asking ourselves, well, what are some things that I can do? Well, we don't realize it's right there in front of our face. But when we're reading the Word of God, there are things there that we can go out and do. We don't want to be someone who is simply someone who talks about the Word of God. In Luke chapter 10, when the lawyer approached Jesus, and he said, well, who is my neighbor? And Jesus said, well, what does the Word of God say? How do you read? And he said, well, you're to love God, and you're to love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus, at the end of the what we call the parable of the Good Samaritan, he said, go and do likewise. Let's not just talk about the Bible. Let's not just listen to it and hear it and kind of talk about it, but go out and do it. And notice that the lawyer, he could quote the Word of God. His problem was he wasn't out doing it. So when you hear something and read something in the Word of God, just jot it down and go out and do it. And the first opportunity that you have to do that, carry that out. That's a simple thing that you can do to carry out your faith. So, verse 23, if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a mirror, for he beholds himself and goes away and straightway or immediately forgets what manner of man he was. what he was seeing there in the bathroom mirror, he's not thinking about that later in the day. It's gone. But he that looks into, and the word there literally means to peer into, to look closely, to look carefully into the complete law, the law of liberty. It frees us from sin. And so continues, not being a hearer that forgets, but a doer that works, this man shall be blessed in his what? In his hearing or in his doing? What does verse 25 say? Are you blessed when you just hear it, or are you blessed when you go out and do it? Of course, we're blessed when we hear it and then go out and do it. So that's a simple thing you can do. Just whenever you hear something and read something, pick one thing and then go do it that way. Here's something else. Turn with me to chapter 2. In chapter 2 and verse 1, James talks about the local assembly. He calls it a synagogue. Your version might say synagogue or assembly. He uses that word because he's writing this book to Jewish Christians. So he uses the word synagogue or assembly in verse 2 instead of ecclesia. If they're coming to your synagogue or assembly, a man with a gold ring and fine clothing, and there come also a poor man in vile clothing, and you have regard to him that wears fine clothing and say, sit here in a good place, and you say to the poor man, stand here or sit at my footstool, do you not make distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? And so he goes on to talk about how that you should not engage in any kind of prejudice in the assembly. You should not treat people differently. You need to treat everybody the same. Well, here's a second thing that you can do to put your faith into practice, and that is use the local assembly to find opportunities to serve your brethren. Use the assembly, the local assembly. What do I mean by that? Well, we had some of that this morning. In the announcements, sometimes in the announcements, here I am in the local assembly, here's an announcement that somebody needs help. Mario Rubio needs help, or somebody needs help, or there's an announcement that Eric Jr. has been in an accident and we need to check on him, or some of the elderly, or somebody is sick, or somebody needs some help. Use the assembly to find out some opportunities to help our brethren. And a lot of times that's done by just listening to the announcements and then just jotting down, well, I want to call this person or text this person or make something for this person or visit somebody. It's a great opportunity to find out what we can do to help our brethren. Look, for example, at chapter 1 and verse 27. Pure religion and undefiled before our God and Father is this, that the fatherless to visit. The word visit there doesn't mean stop by and say hello. The word there means to check on and take care of their needs, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. You check on those that are around you. You check on the widows and the fatherless. And you can use the assembly to learn when and where and how to do that. Look at chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. When they were in the assembly together, they were fighting with each other, which is unfortunate. There were, among some of the brethren, there was not physical pushing and shoving, but spiritual fighting and wars going on. And they, killing and coveting, and they're fighting and warring, and they're just not acting right toward each other. So the assembly had broken down to this place where you come together, but you mistreat your brethren while you're there. And if somebody doesn't make as much money as you, well, you know, you go stand over, or you know, stand over there in the cheap seats and stay away from me. And so they were not loving as their brethren. That seems odd to us because we don't experience any of that here. But in that situation, that's what was going on, and it's unfortunate. Turn to chapter 5, verses 1 through 6. Some of the rich brethren, some of the wealthy brethren were mistreating their poor brethren. And some of them were not, they were having people work for them and they wouldn't even pay them. It's just some really ungodly Christians going on here. It's really a shame. And if some of those brethren that were working in the fields, verse 4, were other brethren, they were mistreating their brethren. And so the assembly had been something where they had continued to come and be together, but they weren't treating each other properly. The assembly is just a great place to find out who I can help and who I can serve and who I can take care of. So let's use the assembly to do that. Here's another thing you can do. Look at chapter 5, verses 19 and 20. The assembly is a good place to learn if there is someone who has left the truth. Every once in a while in a local church, you'll have somebody that's not living faithfully. And it usually shows up with their attendance first, and then it shows up in some other spiritual decline with other things. And in chapter 5, 19 and 20, there were some brethren that had left the truth. And James says that if you will go to them and convert them and bring them back from the error of their way, you've saved a brother, which is a great thing. Well, where's a good place to learn about that? Well, the assembly. The assembly. And it could be in the announcements. It could be in talking with others. But where is Sister so-and-so? I haven't seen them for months. Or where is Brother so-and-so? I haven't seen them for months or maybe even a year. And when we learn about that and hear about that, it's a great opportunity to give them a call or stop by for a visit and try to talk with them and say, hey, I want you to come back to the faith. I want you to be saved. And the assembly is a good place to learn how to do that and when to do that and who to do that toward. And nobody's trying to embarrass anybody. Nobody's trying to hurt anybody's feelings or do something uncomfortable. It's good to just let brethren know when somebody is not being faithful. One of the sheep in the flock is not being faithful, and let's go check on them, rather than just letting them go. And the assembly is a great place to do that. Turn me to chapter 3. Here's another good thing that we can do, simple thing that we can do. We all have it. You don't have to pay any money for this, and that is your tongue. Our tongue. How we use our tongue and how we use our speech. We can use our tongues and our speech in and out of the assembly to put our faith into practice. Our words can be a way in which we bless others. And so in chapter 3, verses 1 through 12, the whole section there deals with the use of the tongue and how we need to guard our tongue. And James laments the problem that some of them were having. Look at verse 10. They were using their tongue to curse people and to bless people. They were using their tongue to be positive and encouraging and then use their tongue to tear down. And James says, this ought not to be. So one thing you can do is just your words, just how you talk to people. You can be a blessing to them. You can bring up God. You can bring up the Bible. You can bring up how that God has blessed you in your life. And you can invite them to a church service. You can speak nicely to people at work or at school. And so the whole section here is guarding the tongue. And being careful with that, we always have to guard that, we always have to watch that. But I want to focus in on verses 10, 11, and 12. Let's use our tongues to bless. Let's use our tongues to not be bitter, but be sweet. And we can use our tongues in a very simple way to build others up, to encourage others. Look at chapter 1 and verse 19. We're not going to be quick to wrath. We're going to be swift to hear and slow to speak, slow to wrath. We're going to be careful with our tongues because often the tongue can then lead to a wrath or anger. We're not going to use it in that way. Look at verse 26. If a man thinks himself to be religious while he bridles not his tongue, but deceives his heart, this man's religion is vain. James will bring up bridling later in chapter 3. So, yes, controlling our tongue, but not just in a negative sense, what not to do, but in a positive sense. Again, verse 10, 11, 12, use it to bless. Use it to be sweet. Use it to encourage. Look at chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. Some of them were using their tongues to judge their fellow brethren. To judge their fellow brethren. This is not talking about when there's sin in their life. You know, don't judge them or don't use the word of God to get them out of their sin. If you read 11 and 12, it's talking about acting as a lawgiver and a judge. God is the lawgiver and God is the judge. We carry out God's law, but we're not a lawgiver and we're not a judge of that law in the sense of using our tongues to speak against them, okay, in a bad way. That's what he's talking about there. Look at chapter 5 and verse 9. Using our tongues to murmur against each other. Verse 9. We're not going to do that. And look at chapter 5 and verse 12. Swearing. This is not talking about using four-letter words. It's talking about, like Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, James says the same thing. When you just say, you can just say yes or no, and you don't have to back it up with a lot of oaths and things like that. Just let your yes be yes and your nay be nay. So look at this tongue matter. It's just a great way to put our faith into practice. When we say things to people here and elsewhere, we can bring them closer to God. Turn with me to chapter 3. Here's another simple thing that we can do. Chapter 3 and verse 13. Just live a good, righteous life. No matter where you are, just live a good, righteous life. And follow the wisdom that comes from heaven, not from the earth. Look at chapter 3 and verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you, you brethren? Let him show by his good life his works in meekness of wisdom. Let him show by his good life. Just be a good example. Be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. When everybody around you is not, you be that way. The other young people at school are not, you be that way. Your co-workers are not, you be that way. And don't follow the wisdom from the world. This next few verses is very, very important. I'm concerned, brethren, today because of our culture and how easy it is for us to have man-made wisdom piped into our life. It's so easy. It used to be the TV. It's hardly the TV anymore. It's still that, I guess, some. It's more our phone. But so much of worldly wisdom is piped into our hearts and in our minds, and then we go out and start following that, and we don't realize how our digital world is really affecting and controlling us. So look at verse 14. If you have bitter jealousy and faction in your heart, that's not a good way to live. Glory not and lie not against the truth. Don't say that you're living right. You're not. That's a lie. When we have these things in our life, we don't need to be living that way. This wisdom is not a wisdom that comes down from above. This doesn't come from God through His Word. Well, James, where does it come from? It is earthly, sensual, devilish, or demonic. This is the way the devil wants us to live. For where jealousy and faction or division or fighting are, there is confusion and every vile deed. That's what that kind of wisdom leads to, and we see it all over our culture today. Confusion and every vile deed. But, here's the contrast, the wisdom that is from above, well, where does that come from? Well, that's chapter 1. In our scripture reading, being doers of the word of God that comes from above, and we're going to hear it and do it, that wisdom is pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated. Someone can come up to us and we're approachable, full of mercy and good fruits. Look at that. Good life, verse 13, good fruits, verse 17. Just go out and live a good life and bear the fruits of the Spirit. If we need to review what those are, Galatians 5, 23 and 24, go back and review that. But just go out and live a good life. And follow God's wisdom. And when you say things and do things, you're going to be bearing this good fruit. It is without variance. This idea of doubting all the time and not really sure, it's without that, and it's without hypocrisy. We're not going to live a hypocritical life. And the fruit, there's your doing, of righteousness is sown, there's your doing, in peace for them that make for peace. Just be a peacemaker. Live the good, godly life based upon the wisdom that is from above. That's one of the greatest things that we can do to put our faith into practice. Turn with me to chapter 4 and verse 8. Let's look at another thing that we can do to put our faith into practice. James says, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. Here's another thing you can do. Draw near to God. The closer we get to God, the farther away from the world we get, and the more we're going to be putting our faith into practice. And in the book of James, James tells us how to draw near to God. This is interesting. In verse 8, he says, draw near to God. But when you read the whole book, he's going to give you some practical, simple, spiritual disciplines that you can have in your life. And if you don't have them in your life, then let me encourage you to get them in your life and then get even more. These are just simple little things, and every one of them will help us to draw closer to God. I think all of us here this morning would say, you know, I'd like to be closer to God. Well, here's how. Number one, prayer. Pray more. Not just for meals, but all the time. Pray more. Look at chapter 5 and verse 1. If any one of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. This is your prayer. In chapter 4 and verse 3, you ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that you may spend it in your pleasures. Have your prayers more, not what I will, but if what thou wilt. What does God want? So prayer comes up. Look at chapter 5, verses 13 through 18. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone sick? Let him call for the elders and let them pray. More prayer in and out of the church building will help us to draw closer to God. Number two, Bible reading. Here's your chapter 1, 22 through 25 again. Hearing and reading the Word of God on a daily basis and going out and practicing that. That is going to help me draw closer to God. Number three, assembling. There comes into your assembly, James says. Let's be assembling as much as we can. We will always draw closer to God when we are here together worshiping God. And then in chapter 5, you have singing. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing. One of my childhood memories was my mother always singing gospel hymns in front of the kitchen sink while washing dishes or cooking or something. She was always singing hymns standing there in the kitchen. I remember that growing up. If we're cheerful, why not sing a hymn? Why not focus on something spiritually minded? There are things on the radio that I guess are pretty cool to listen to. But why not something that is going to draw us closer to God? I guess from my mother, I catch myself humming church songs a lot as I walk through the house and other places. If you're happy, do that. And then he talks about confessing our sins. Of course, that will draw us closer to God when we get sin out of our life. So, how can I put my faith into practice? How can I grow and get better? Just draw near to God. That's not some vague, mystical, I'm not really sure how that happens. The book of James tells us how it happens by doing these things that we've been talking about. One of the problems is, look at chapter 4 and verse 4. One of the problems that these brethren had was some of them were spiritual adulterers. Chapter 4, verse 4, they were worldly. They had made friendships with the world, verse 4, that had taken them into sin. And James says, you people are spiritual adulterers. You need to get out of that. You need to resist the devil, verse 7, and draw near to God. It's not just one. It's not just, well, stay away from stuff, but draw near to what is good and right, and this is how we do it. Let's go out and draw closer through these spiritual disciplines, and you'll find yourself putting your faith into practice. While we're here in chapter 4, let's look at another thing. Come with me to chapter 4 and verse 13. Here's just a great way to put your faith into practice. Don't put off until tomorrow what you can do today. And I'm talking about today, May the 4th. I'm talking about today. If you know, after the service this morning, if you know that there's something good for you to do as a Christian, just do it today. Do it this afternoon or after services this evening. Just do it right now. Don't put off until tomorrow what you can do today. It might be that phone call. It might be that visit. It might be something else that we need to be doing. Come now, you that say, today or tomorrow we will go into this city and spend a year there and trade and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. What is your life? For you are a vapor and appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Life is fragile. I'm so thankful that the Lord watched over little Eric. I'm so thankful for that. But listen to me. It is a reminder, right? Of how fragile life is. Right? And so we can't just say, well, we got all the time in the world to do this or that. James' point is, life is like a vapor. It's here and then it's gone. We need to be doing things now while we know to be doing them. That's the point. And so verse 15, for you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall both live and do, here's your doing, do this or that. But now you glory in your vauntings, all such glorying is evil. What vauntings? Verses 13 and 14. Well, we got all the time in the world. Don't vaunt like that. Don't boast like that. To him, therefore, that knows to do good and does it not, to him it is sin. That's a very popular verse that we quote. But it's in the context of do it now because our life is like a vapor. And those of you recently who have experienced some very serious illness types of things, you've been reminded that life is fragile. And all of us are reminded of that from time to time. So what does that tell us, brethren? Just do it today. If we know that there's something we need to do, don't put off until tomorrow what we can do today. And there are simple little things that we can do today on May the 4th and on tomorrow, if God gives us that. On the 5th, there's something we can do. And on the 6th, instead of just saying, well, later in the month, I'll do such and such. Just do it today. And that's a great way to put your faith into practice. And then last of all, turn with me to chapter 5. There's one last section that we need to catch here. Look at chapter 5 and verse 7. Here's a great, simple way to put your faith into practice. And that is, anything that comes up in your life, anything that comes up in life, just face it with faithful endurance. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to become unfaithful. I'm not going to fall apart. Here's a simple way to put your faith into practice. Whatever God gives you in life, good or bad, just persevere and endure and be steadfast and make it through that time in your life. Let's look at it. Chapter 5, verse 7. Be patient. Here's your steadfastness and your endurance and your perseverance. Be patient, therefore, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waits for the precious fruit of the earth. We're going to patiently wait and serve God no matter what we have to go through and how we have to face that. Be patient. He repeats it again. Be patient over it until it receive the early and the latter rains. Also be patient. There's your third time. Establish your hearts. Look at that statement. Establish your hearts. What does that mean? My heart is fixed. It's not going to move. If something bad comes my way, some announcement, some this, some that, I'm fixed. I'm stable. I'm grounded. And whatever God gives me in life, good or bad, positive or negative, I'm just simply going to press through. And so in my talk and in my actions, how do I show my faith? I'm a faithful Christian. Well, Chris, you're going through a bad time. Yeah, that's fine. I'm a faithful Christian. That's okay. Well, Chris, you've been told such and such. That's fine. I'm a faithful Christian, and I'm going to serve the Lord. These things are not going to shake me or move me. Be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Murmur not, brethren, one against another, that you be not judged. Behold, the judge stands before the doors. Take, brethren, for an example of the suffering and of the patience. Here's your fourth time. How many times does James have to mention it? He just keeps bringing it up. Do you see the point? Just patiently going through life, facing whatever it is the Lord gives us. Take the patience, the prophets who spake in the name of the Lord, Jeremiah and others, and the terrible things they had to go through. Behold, we call them blessed that endured. That's how we show our faith, just patient endurance. You have heard of the patience, there it is again, of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, how that the Lord is full of pity and merciful. So no matter what comes our way, we're going to faithfully serve the Lord. That's one of the easiest ways to show your faith. We're not going to fall apart. We're not going to quit, as so many people do. So what are some of those things that are mentioned in the book of James? We'll go back to chapter 1. There's going to be trials. Trials, verses 2 and 3. Right. And look at chapter 1 and verse 9. There may be poverty. There may be a situation where we don't have as much money as other people have. James talks about that in verses 9, 10, and 11. Do you know that at this very moment, we have brethren in other places, maybe even here in this country, but especially around the world, that just do not have a whole lot physically. But they're just patiently enduring and serving the Lord. They're happy. They got a smile on their face. It doesn't shake them. It doesn't shift them. They're just faithfully serving the Lord. It could be temptations. Look at chapter 1, verses 12 through 18. It could be temptation. Lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, pride of life. It could be something out in our world that is tempting us to sin. It could be that. It could be mistreatment. Look at chapter 4 and verse 1. Ever been mistreated by somebody? Ever been mistreated? It could be mistreatment. But that's not going to cause us to give up and quit. And it could be suffering. It could be physical suffering. It could be physical pain, illness, disease, something else. What does James say? Here's how you show your faith. You just go out every day and you faithfully serve the Lord. And you don't let it get you down and you don't let it cause you to quit. Seven simple do-it-yourself steps. You can just simply do what you hear in the Word of God. You can use the local church assembly to find out opportunities to serve your brethren. We can speak words to people and bless them. We can just live a good, righteous life in our marriage and in our family and then in our conduct as Christians. We can draw closer to God through these spiritual disciplines. We can do today what we need to do and not put it off until the 5th of May. Cinco de Mayo may not come around. I don't know if we're going to have Cinco de Mayo or not. We need to do today what we need to do. Right? And we're going to be so fixed and established in our heart that we're going to endure any situation that God gives us, and we're just going to be faithful each and every day. We're going to stand and sing this song of encouragement, servant song. Let's serve the Lord. You can begin to put your practice into faith this morning if you believe in God and Jesus. You can put your faith into practice by coming and being baptized into Christ. That would be a great thing. And those of you here this morning that are children of God, let's go out and be active. Some simple do-it-yourself steps to put our faith into practice. If we can help you in some way, why won't you come as we stand and as we sing?